I feel a bit of pressure right there. I don't know how we tied the message that God laid on my heart to that song, but I walked up with the words just in case. And we'll ask the Holy Spirit to tie it all together. The song says, "O Jesus, Lord, how can it be that thou shouldest give thy life for me to bear the cross and agony in that dread hour on Calvary?" Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a beautiful God we serve. I don't hear you. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a gracious God we serve. He's so wonderful. He's so great. He's amazing. He took our pain so that we could be free. He took our sin so that we can have life. Oh, what a great God. There's a lot of gods out there, common G's out there. They didn't do that. They didn't take on our pain, and they certainly aren't alive. They died, and they're in the grave somewhere rotting. But we thank you that our Savior is sitting on the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. Come on, somebody. I'm not good tidings. People who have served God for 50 years, for 30 years, for 40 years. I've been serving God for 30 years. So I could just imagine some of the people in here. We are grateful for God and His mercy. Amen? The brother already prayed for me, but I guess I'll pray again. He prayed that God would hide me behind the cross and that He would get the glory. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We bless your holy name. We thank you, O God, that you, before the earth was formed, you knew this moment. You knew that we would be here. You know that we would be gathering to celebrate you, to thank you for all that you have done. So gracious God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your covering. We thank you that even now you are softening the hearts of all of us here to hear your word. God, we ask that your word would go forward as you promised in your word, that it would go forth and it will not return unto you void, but it shall accomplish that which it was set out to do. So we ask, O God, that you hide me behind the cross. Use my lips, use my voice for your glory, God. We come against fear. We come against anxiety. We come against flesh even right now. We submit ourselves to your spirit. And we ask that you receive the glory. Touch a life that does not know you. Renew a heart that did know you and lost a little bit of zest. We thank you, Lord, for all that you will do in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, my good uncle, Elder Allwood, and the elders keep inviting me back, and I keep being surprised, you know. 21 years ago, this was the first church that I walked into when I came here for college at Brooklyn College. And I'm always grateful for this place that took care of me and the people here who are thumbs up and still here. I'm sure still praying for my family, and I thank God for all of you. I'm told that I have an hour, so I'll be quick. I'm 6'6", similar to Elder Wilson over there. We talk a little long, so he already made an excuse for me, so just strap yourself in, right? The scripture reading today is from Acts 27, and it's a little bit all over the place, so bear with me. Sometimes I come with a ready cooked word, and sometimes I flow by the Spirit based on what He's laid on my heart, and as we go, God reveals what's next. Amen? So I think it's the second today. Acts chapter 27 talks about Paul on his journey, and it's going to go over a little bit of a shipwreck story. And I titled the message, "When Hope Brings You Trials and Broken Pieces Bring You to Safety." When hope brings you trials and broken pieces bring you to safety. We're going to talk about wholeness today. We're going to talk about brokenness today. And then we'll wrap it together with the gospel. Is that okay? Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 27 from verse 10 and 11. Is it going to come up on the screen? 10 and 11. It says, "Men, I perceive this voyage," Paul speaking, "will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. We'll jump to verse 20. And it reads, "Now when neither sun nor star appeared for many days," this is when they're already on their journey, and "no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up." Verse 21 reads, "But after long," what's that? Abstinence from food. "Then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, 'Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed, God has granted you all those who will sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told to me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.'" And then we'll skip for these five verses from verse 41. "But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard, and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship, and so it was that they escaped safely to land." Tell somebody, safely to land. The chapter before, or the chapters before in the story of Paul, and you all know Apostle Paul very well, don't you? He is probably the single most voluminous writer of the New Testament, after Luke, whom after I've named, right? You know, I'm always competitive. I think Luke, I don't know, just God had it that way, all right? So after Luke, with Luke and Acts, comes Paul. And Paul, as you may know, was a Jew by birth, a Roman by citizenship, and a Greek by culture. This was a star boy. You know, he had it all covered. He had all the cards. He had all the citizenship. He had all the ranking. He had all the eloquence and scholarship of his day, both secular and religious. He was the best of the best. But isn't it interesting that the best of the best would go through such trial? Isn't it interesting that the God of the universe would put a cosign on these words as his words? And all of these words, for the most part, were through a lot of pain and struggle. I don't know about you, but my journey with Christ hasn't always been easy. How about you? Sometimes we talk about the favor of God and the grace of God, and everybody wants to reign with God, but they don't want to suffer with God. They don't want to go through the pain to go to the purpose. Here is Paul. He has been before a lot of people. He's been to the Sanhedrin. He has been in Caesarea. He has been before Felix. He's been before Festus. He's been before Agrippa. He's been before a lot of people trying his case. The sister in the back says she was walking just yesterday for justice. I don't know, but this didn't feel just. It didn't feel right that Paul was going through this much hell. Have you ever felt that way? That things were not going your way? Just before, in Acts 26, he was before King Agrippa. And he says something striking that I didn't read, but I'll read it for you. In Acts 26, verse 6, he says, "And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today." Isn't that something? It was because of a hope in Jesus that he was on trial. It seems like a little bit of a paradoxical scenario there. For the hope of Jesus, he was on trial. Because of the hope that these Jews are accusing me of, he was being accused for a hope. How can hope and accusation go together? How can hope and pain go together? I think I'll have some answers for you later. He says, I've appeared to you to appoint you a servant. That was Jesus now speaking to Paul, giving him a preview when he was Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. God spoke to him and says, I've appeared to you to appoint you as a servant. A servant and a witness. You see, he had all the accolades. He had all the tests taken. He had all the prestige. But when God called him for two things. Tell somebody, service and witness. Tell somebody, service and witness. He didn't call him for flashy. He didn't call him for followers. He didn't call him for Instagram or TikTok. He called him for service and for witness. So the story catches us up in Acts chapter 27. And I was struck by the end of the passage by how God brought this all together. You see, Paul warned them. He somehow had a vision from God. You see, God still speaks to women and men. He still is in the prophesying business. I know it's an uncomfortable word in the Brethren Church, but he is still speaking. He is still speaking through his people, his words through us. He is still speaking. Somehow God was able to tell Paul and give him a foresight of what was about to happen. He says here, you know what? The word of God says that he doesn't do anything on the earth unless he reveals it to his prophets. That's in the word of God. Somehow he got an insight into what was going to happen. I pray that God would speak to you and give you warning. I pray that God would give you revelation so you have an inkling of what's going to happen in the future. You see, September or whenever the elections was happened, and I think it shook a lot of people, depending on which side of the political spectrum you like. Some people were rejoicing and some people were crying. Some people who were rejoicing are now crying. But irrespective of that, we serve a God that has told us to submit ourselves to his kingdom. Not the kingdoms of the earth, not political parties, not positions, but his kingdom. You see, when you're in his kingdom and you allow him to have domain of your life, he will speak to you. He will give you warning. He will give you foresight. He will give you revelation of what's about to happen. But in this passage, I was struck by the brokenness at the end. You see, we have an obsession with wholeness. And it's a good thing. How many people shop at Whole Foods? How many people eat whole wheat bread? How many people believe in holistic living, body, soul, spirit, flourishing? God wants that for us too. He wants us to prosper and be in good health even as our soul prospers. But sometimes, as you know, God's story is not our story because his ways are not our ways. We want the straight line, God, give it to me. Right? I heard the good elder over here talking about a purse with money for the building. But what I saw is that good elder writing a check. He said purse, which to me singled out the ladies, right? Because men don't carry purses. But somehow in my spirit, I feel that he's going to write a check. Right? So in this, right? We like whole things. We want things to be right. Emotional and mental well-being is a good thing. We want to be whole. Relationships and connections, we want to be whole. Purpose and meaning, we want to be whole. Physical health and benefits, all are around wholeness. But this passage is about a shipwreck. It's about how God will use the broken pieces of our life to get us to our destination. I'm talking about the brokenness of hurt and deep hurt. I'm talking about the brokenness of the loss of a loved one. I'm talking about the brokenness of the loss of a child. I'm talking about the brokenness of a destroyed relationship. You see, when I see this ship, I see a whole ship. It looks sturdy. It probably has purple hearts or green heart from Guyana. You know what I'm saying? And it's doing well on the waters. Right? It's beautifully orchestrated and built by engineers to float. Right? When I am in Bahamas or Bermuda, one of these places, I see the cruise ships coming in. I'm like, my God. Look at that monstrosity, and it's still on top of the water. Right? And you've been, some of you, to cruises. But we see this whole ship. But we don't realize in our lives sometimes God wants to use the broken pieces. I'm going to use some scriptures. Proverbs 17 verse 22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Proverbs 18 verse 4 says, the human spirit can endure sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? Who can bear these things? 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9 says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. I've come to encourage somebody that may be going through a storm. And I know something about Jesus and storms. He's doing one of two things. He's either sleeping or he's speaking. He's either sleeping or he's speaking. And what I like about Jesus is that in your boat and in your storm, he has promised to be present. We heard that earlier, that he's promised to be present now, and he's promised to be present in the future. He says he will never leave us, nor forsake us. Lamentations 3, 22 and 33 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. You see, he will try you. He will test you. It may feel that he's breaking you. But even if that does feel that way, he will always find a way to put you back together again. I think there's a Japanese tradition, the name of which I can't remember right now, but they specialize in bringing broken pieces together. Right? And they would take a vase that is chipped and broken, and they would actually celebrate the ceremony of putting it back together in a different way. That's the sort of God that we serve. He takes the broken pieces of our lives and he puts us back together again. Psalm 51, David was a broken man. It says the sacrifice of God is a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, God, you will not despise. Remember, Psalm 51 came after sin. Came after a king who was sitting at home instead of being on the battlefield. And you see, when you're at home, instead of where God wants you to be, you will be distracted by a lot of things on the rooftop. And you can't blame the other people who are on their rooftop or wherever. It's you got the problem. But thank God for deliverance. Thank God for his grace that we can make a mistake and still run back to him. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Anybody lost their joy? Anybody lost their joy? God is here to restore your joy. He's here to bring that joy back. Isaiah 57 verse 15 says, for this is what the high and exalted one says. He who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the ones who was contrite and holy in spirit. To revive the spirit of the lonely and to revive the heart of the contrite.
You see, Acts 27 caught them in verse 20. And it says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, he finally gave up all hope of being saved. Isn't that interesting? That just when you're about to quit, his word says that when we are weak, he is strong. That's why I love Jesus. Because I am a pretty strong type of person. I might look slim, right? But I like the idea of being tall and strong. But when I've been closest to Jesus is when I've been knocked on my face, is when I'm in a corner crying, is when I'm in pain. And somehow, the angel of the Lord always chooses to show up then. And he says, you must go to Caesar. Tell somebody, must go. I thank God for the must go anointing on your life. I like it that Jesus said things like, I must needs be go through Samaria. We serve a must go type of God. We serve a God who has had an assignment on your life forever. And his word is final. So irrespective of the storm, irrespective of the wind, I've come to encourage you that you must meet your destination. It may not be in the way that you set it out to be, but you will make it there. There's somebody here who's got a business idea, and I'm here to tell you that you must go do that thing. There's somebody here who's praying for a child, and you think you've given up all hope. They're not going to come to Jesus, but I've come to tell you that they must come to Jesus, because he's promised to bless the habitation of the just. He's promised that when you train them up in the nurture and admonition of God, that he's got his hands on them and he's working it out for your good. I tell you, somebody, he's working it out for your good simply because you love him and you're called according to his purpose. That's the prerequisite. Do you love him? Do you feel called? Well, guess what? He's working it out. He's working it out for your good. What I like about this passage is not a single person died. 276 souls is a lot of souls on a ship that for 2 weeks is being rocked. But I thank God that he saw it fit to bring a message out of the mess, to bring a testimony out of the trial. I like it that, like Jesus in his boat when he was going across to the other side, that he gave Paul the words to speak. Tell somebody, speak. Speak those things that are not as though they are. You've got to be able to declare healing over your life. You've got to be able to declare blessing over your life, because these are the things he promised us. He has made us in his image and his likeness. So if he is a speaking God, then he expects us to do what? Speak. If he is a creating God, by his words, guess what he expects you to do? Speak and create. He says life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so many of us are sitting down at home, poor me, poor me, poor me. And every word that you utter is creating your destiny. I'm not saying not to cry out to God for pain. There's a lot of Psalms in the Bible where David says, God, kill my enemies now. I can't take it no more. But then he never stays there. He says, for your compassions never fail. He says, great is your faithfulness. He says, glory be to God. He declares the glory of God. David did it, and so can you. So David told them so many instructions. One of them, he says, listen, I see you guys, you let down your boats, so you think you're going to get out of here. But if you jump in them boats, you guys not going to make it. Right? And the Roman soldiers cut it, and they followed what Paul says. I'm going to keep going. I'm almost done. Don't worry. God is close to the brokenhearted. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. I don't know about you, but I like God to be close. But guess when he's closest now? When you're crushed in spirit. He is always near, but guess when he's like super close? When you're crushed. You need to remember this when you're down and out. You got to remember that he's close to the brokenhearted. And that's when he goes into saving mode. He's a saving type of God. If he doesn't have anything to save, he can't really flex. He gets to flex when the thing seems impossible for you. Because with God, all things are possible. You know, it's so funny that the sayers of this world would pray for one thing. And then as the clock starts ticking, we lose a little bit of hope. And it's not a lady thing. Men do it all the time too. And we give up on the dreams that God has given us. But we thank God that the angel will still show up. And said, you remember I promised you that thing 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago? Guess what? I'm still going to do it. And he will cause you to laugh. Because that's what Isaac means. He will cause those things to be resurrected again. Let me close by talking about the wholeness that Jesus brings us. I'm only 25 minutes in. Don't worry. My clock is running. Jeremiah 30 verse 17 says, for I will restore health to you and your wounds will heal, declares the Lord. I've come to declare what God declares, that he is healing your wounds today. Psalm 147 verse 3 said, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. I've come to declare the word of God over you. He is binding up your wounds. Colossians 2 verse 10 says, in Christ you have been brought to fullness. I'm here to declare over you that God is bringing you into fullness. Fullness in mind, fullness in spirit, fullness in body. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you keep him and her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Because what? He or she trusts. Again, you gotta trust him. You gotta have that bodacious sort of faith. That Abraham sort of faith. That type of faith that says, you know what? I can't see it, but I just know you're gonna do it. You know what I'm saying? I don't see it. I don't feel it. Matter of fact, my emotions got me all out of whack because I'm feeling a certain type of way. But I know you're going to do it. Guess what? Because you did it for my sister in church who was testifying the other day at the Tuesday or Friday or whenever that prayer meeting is. I heard about her testimony and I know he can do the same for me. Same God. Same God. He is still the resurrection and the life. 3 John 1 verse 2 says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers. Romans 8:28 says, for we know that in all things God works for good all those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Ephesians 3:19 says, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. He is able to bring us to shore. Verse 42 of Acts 27 says, the soldiers planned to kill the prisoners. Verse 43 says, but the centurions wanted to spare Paul's life. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard. Verse 44 says, the rest were to get there on planks. Tell somebody planks. Or on pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone, say everyone, landed safely. I'm here to say that you're going to land safely. I'm here to say that you may be in a storm right now, but you're going to land safely. It may be on the broken pieces of the pain of your life, but you're going to land safely. For those who don't know Jesus, he could help you land safely. He is here for you. He died for you. He has a purpose for your life. He wants a relationship with you. He wants not a robot, Not an AI instrument that will just respond at will to the latest prompt. He wants you to choose him. He's a lover type of God. I don't know, the marriage people know. You like to be loved. You like to be sought after. You don't like the, take that. Same way with Jesus. He wants to pursue you. He is pursuing you. He is searching for you. He is looking for you. He would leave us 99 to come hunt and find you. That's how special you are to him. So if you haven't given your heart to Christ, I'm here to say that this is the chance. I've been serving him for 30 years and I ain't going back. I look around the room and there's some half centurions in here being surgeons. They've been serving him for over half a century. And when I look at their life, they look like, you know, things are working out. Through the good and the bad, they're still here praising God. So I know my future is fine. Not just because of his word, because I could see the testimony of the lives who have served him. So if you don't know Jesus, I just pray that you pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you today. I've heard about you so many times, but today, as I listen to this word, I feel a pull in my heart. I feel a tug towards you. I feel you calling me. So today, Lord, I surrender my life. I acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. I acknowledge that Jesus came. He bled. He died. He took my pain so that I can have life and have it more abundantly. Now, Jesus, take my life, all of me. I ask you to be Lord and Savior. Direct me. Be with me through my storms. Be with me on the mountaintop. Be with me as well, God, in the valley. Because I've heard that you would never forsake me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus, and I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And for you saints, stay encouraged. It doesn't matter where the stock market goes. I know a lot of you got them retirement accounts, and you're looking at these numbers, and you're like, my God, what are these people doing? God is still your provider. God is still your source. God still has you as his remnant, and he's watching over you. He will still protect. He will still provide. He will still keep you until you meet him again. God bless you.
Amen. We thank Brother Luke.